this hour on the program, for the next half hour, I'm pleased to introduce you to Domenica Prasanti. She's the CEO of Recovery Centers of America, the Bracebridge Hall Center. And this week, next week, and 2 weeks beyond Radiothon, she will be our guest as we have an opioid treatment series. And we decided to do this because A&E currently has a five-part series that's airing called Intervention. It's a fascinating look into the lives of those who have substance abuse disorder. And this series is currently focusing on the lives of those who live just up the road from us, outside of Philadelphia, in Kensington. Chapter 3 aired just last night. It was titled The Heroin Hub. It's a gripping watch. I highly recommend you check it out. You can stream it on your devices. You merely need to provide who your cable provider is, and then you can stream it commercial-free. That's what I've been doing. We're going to talk about the episodes and how intervention's a big part, almost the first step to getting help. But first, let's say hello to Domenica. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. RCA, Recovery Centers of America. Tell us about the model.
So, Recovery Centers of America, we have multiple inpatient and residential locations. We also offer outpatient with most of our inpatient programs. We believe in a full continuum. You know, we believe that individuals who come into care when they meet that level of service, you know, when they come into our programs, we greet them with compassion. We teach them connection. We work with them in their communities. We work with their network support systems, families. We have spiritual-based program. And we do all of that because we know that that's what works, right? That they're the things that lead people into sustainable recovery, right? There's, you know, a lot of different schools of thought around addiction and how you treat addiction. We believe addiction's a disease. We believe that we use any tool in our toolbox, meaning 12-step programs, medication-assisted treatment, you know, a full continuum of care. You know, they're the things that we see work and enable people to live their lives free from this ravenous disease, because that's what it is. It's ravaging our communities.
Absolutely. You said addiction, and I think some of us have been programmed to stay away from that word, but you readily used it.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. I know we're going to talk a little bit about the show, and, you know, when we talk about opiate addiction, we talk about dependence, we talk about individuals who are substance using individuals. You know, this episode or these episodes of intervention, I mean, this is as real as it gets. And I think that when we have these conversations, some of them are going to be raw, right? And mm-hmm. A lot of times we tiptoe around what's diplomatic and, you know, what the right things are to say. And so much of that contributes to stigma, right? So for me, let's have a conversation. Let's have a conversation in terms that everyone can understand it. And then let's solve for it, right? Like, we believe by any means necessary, we're going to get someone into treatment. We're going to get them in as soon as they ask for help. You know, we dispatch transportation immediately to pick individuals up when they're ready for care, because it's a golden moment, right? And that moment and that thought and that moment of desperation can shift so quickly that if we don't respond immediately and with a sense of urgency, someone could die.
Right.
So We've started to kind of move away from the diplomacy and you know, the cleanliness of talking about this disease, right? Because at the end of the day, we just want to save lives, and we want to do that treatment on demand by any means necessary, however we need to do that.
And we want to invite you to this conversation. Her time is short here, but I am soliciting calls. 302-529-1017, 302-529-1017. 1017, or you can call toll free if you're downstate or out of state, 888-456-1017. 888-456-1017. What's been your take watching this series with, you know, homegrown players, if you will?
So, you know, it's gut-wrenching to me anytime you watch individuals who are suffering. And I think the thing that the intervention series is showing everyone is that, you know, for a long time, you look at an individual who's using substances. And what the show puts in light is that the entire family unit is impacted. Communities are impacted. When you look at areas like Kensington, communities are impacted. It's as real as it gets. And I think for here, for those of us in Delaware, I mean, our individuals who are suffering from addiction are going to Kensington. They are using in Kensington. They are, you know, just as impacted because Wilmington is so close. We're so close. You know, anywhere really in Newcastle County, right? And so I think that what it gives you a glimpse of is it's not just an individual that's suffering to where we can go, oh, well, that's just his problem or that's just her problem. It's everybody's problem. It's the family's problem. Those of us who work in the field, it's our problem, right? It's the community's problem. You know, they talked a little bit in one of the episodes, I believe it was the second one, about the neighbors being so upset because of the property values in that area.
Right.
I mean, this is a public health emergency. It's an epidemic.
Yeah.
And so it's all hands on deck, right? And so I think that people can't continue to go, not my problem, not my child, not my community, because it impacts everybody one way or another. It impacts everybody, whether it's economic, whether it's from a disease prevention standpoint, or just simply because it's your loved one or friend or family, right? It impacts everybody. There's not too many people you cross anymore that don't know someone who suffered from this disease.
Yeah. And it's getting a lot of focus in the news because the large liberal cities, as it's being portrayed, like San Francisco and Los Angeles, they've got such a rampant homelessness problem, and many of those who are without a home are using. So it really is. It's bringing down the businesses in the area. You're exactly right. It's absolutely everyone's problem. It is an all hands on deck scenario. Let's run down, give a sort of synopsis for people. Again, I encourage you to check out this series. It's called Intervention. It's the A&E Network, and you can stream it on your tablet. Obviously, you can use your cable provider to see where it might be available on demand, and I'm sure that it is. But some of the highlights, episode one, which was just a couple weeks ago, and again, this is focused on real-life people dealing with this real-life problem just up the road in Kensington and Delaware County, basically. There's one, I'd almost call her a character. She's not a character. She's a person. There's one person who's featured in the show. She's in Upper Darby. So they do kind of move across the area. But Kensington's known as the heroin hub for Philadelphia. But episode one, it was spent more on the community and the bigger context and a lot less on individual addicts. We get introduced to individual addicts as the episode, as you get into the episodes. But it gets across how much of an epidemic we're dealing with in America right now and how hard it is to save people from it when they live in places that are as deeply sick as Kensington is. And that's where episode one is where we first meet Nicole. She's a 39-year-old heroin addict and prostitute who's lived in the area for 5 years. And then there's also Janine, a 22-year-old addict whose father just died from a fatal overdose weeks earlier. Oftentimes, and in episode three, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, I realize, but I believe his name is Jim Reedy. No, that's not Jim. There's another interventionist who's speaking with the mother of a man named Bill, and she describes what befell Bill before he sunk into substance abuse. And I found it really profound because it was something as simple as he was in love with a woman. They had a baby. The baby didn't look like him. He got a paternity test, found out he wasn't the father, and that was it. Just incredible.
So we see themes in this, and one of the number one themes is trauma, right? So there's, you know, different avenues have different research data, but it's approximately around 78 to 82% of individuals who suffer from substance use disorder have had some sort of trauma. And the interesting thing with trauma is that, it can be viewed as objective, right? So something that I consider a tremendous trauma to me could happen to you, and you may not even realize it was traumatic, but you may still have a trauma response.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the individuals that they've met with on the show so far, every one of them has had some type of significant trauma. You know, when you talked about Janine, whose dad had passed away, prior, you see two things: generational substance use disorder, and you see trauma. Just like the gentleman you just spoke about, trauma. The girls, the twins from last night, they found out at 18 that the woman who had raised them their entire life wasn't their biological mom, through an argument with their father who was intoxicated, and who they had thought was their mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they said at that point, that was when the one young woman, started to use. So, I believe her name was Amanda. And, you know, she has a child custody battle going on right now. And, it's trauma. It's so prevalent. And it can be something, a car crash that someone witnesses at the age of 8 and they don't know how to process that. Traumatic. A divorce, violent incident, a mugging, a stabbing, all of those things. And, our brain's response to that is different. It's different for every individual. So you have some people who, like the gentleman you just discussed, they'll reach out to medicate. I mean, and really, that's all this is we're trying to quell some pain any way possible, because that's what humans do, right? Like, we don't like pain. We don't like discomfort. So when we find something that can medicate that pain and discomfort, whether it's physical, emotional, right, that's where we run into trouble, right? And so those themes are really generational substance use, trauma, and really the other thing that's very common is undiagnosed mental health conditions, right? Depression, anxiety, things of that nature. Post-traumatic stress disorder, huge with this population. Veterans coming back from the military. I mean, no one is immune to this.
If a person's an inpatient at RCA and they're there for 30 days, what's it like for them after they leave? I mean, obviously, this is, you would refer to the continuum.
Yep.
This is something they need to stay on top of.
Absolutely.
And RCA is a big part of that.
Absolutely. So, when I spoke about the disease concept, we treat it as such, right? So you have something that meets the American Disease Association definition. It's interesting. So my biggest battles in this field, it's that argument. Is it a disease? Is it not? Well, if you look at it in the truest sense of the word, it's chronic, it's progressive, it is primary, and it is fatal if left untreated. So that is the same definition you would give cancer, you would give diabetes, you would give all of those things, right? So we know that those things exist with addiction, so therefore it's a disease. So if we are going to treat it effectively, then we have to treat it as a disease, right? So for us, that is, come into treatment and we get you stable.
Mm-hmm.
We come up with a treatment plan. We figure out what's going to work for you based on your everything, your everything that makes you, right? So all your past traumas, the things that have happened, what you've been responsive to in the past. Do you need medications? Some people do. And so we look at that and then we go, okay, well, once you've been here 30 days, I mean, the 30-day part is stabilization.
Right.
So we're helping you build a support network. We're introducing you to the 12-step program. Everything we do at RCA is the 12 steps are infused across the board, as well as trauma-informed care and services. So, we're introducing people to that. And I mean, we're introducing them to individuals who are in recovery that can hold their hand and walk them through.
Yeah.
Spirituality, you know, do people want to go to church?
Sure.
We help with that, all of those things, family therapy, individual therapy, group therapy. And then we figure out what the next best move is. And so for some people, that's a partial hospitalization program, which basically means they go 6 hours a day for a few weeks once they leave. For some people, it's intensive outpatient. You know, there are normal recommendations. And then a lot of people, they do sober living. They do transitional housing. One of our strongest partners in the community, I would be remiss not mentioning, you know, we have the Lyman House in Wilmington. I mean, they do phenomenal work.
Incredible.
They have great success rates. They're one of our strongest partners because we believe that you can't just step down after a 30-day program and just go to see a therapist once a week.
Right.
People are not successful. Can some people do it? Absolutely. But the odds are not in their favor. If there's not a strong continuum with a lot of wraparound support, you know, and a community that's going to support them and not judge them and treat them with compassion, again, compassion, connection, and kinship.
Yeah. And I want to speak to that when we return from our break. Reset for the audience here. Our guest is Domenica Persante. She's the CEO of Recovery Centers of America, the Bracebridge Hall Center. And she's here because of the A&E series intervention. It's shining a light on this problem in our very region, just up the road in Delaware County, PA. And we're talking about what RCA is doing for patients and what we can do for them as well. That's ahead. Welcome back to the program. Domenica Persante, CEO of Recovery Centers of America, the Bracebridge Hall Center, is my guest. We've been talking about substance use disorder and specifically about some addicts who are being profiled in the A&E five-part series intervention, focusing on real people up in Delaware County, PA. Domenica, we had been talking earlier, you had mentioned how this is everybody's problem, and it's an all-hands-on-deck scenario. Obviously, the intervention show, it's friends and loved ones who are the ones to intervene for these people to see if they would be open to getting the help they need. And that really should be, I guess, ultimately, who needs to perform an intervention. But how can a listener, you know, how can I... What do we need to do to help move the conversation?
So I think a lot of things. So, you know, one of the biggest barriers that we have to people getting help is the stigma that surrounds this disease, the shame around it. So I have 80 patients in our facility at any given time, and I can tell you I probably take 2 to 5 calls on any given day for someone who's reaching out for help. And, you know, it runs the gamut of, I don't want my neighbors to know. I don't want my family to know. I don't. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that's coming from the family member, not the actual individual who's suffering. So I think it's our job to challenge those old schools of thought. I mean, again, it goes back to, we believe it's a disease. We need to respond as such. And it's a public health crisis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we struggle with resources here in this state. I mean, that's factual. And we also struggle with some quality of care with some of the resources that we do have, you know. And so, you know, I think what people can do is really look into the programs that they're referring their loved ones to. Do your research, you know, ask around, pick up a phone, you know, come up with a list of questions. And a lot of that should be, do you treat mental health? Do you treat trauma? You know, how do I know my loved one's going to be in the program as long as they need to be? You know, what does your continuum look like? You know, and I get asked these things very often. So it's interesting. So we put a training together. It's actually going to be the 25th of September at the University of Delaware. Okay. At Star Campus. And it's titled Treating Addiction with Compassion, Connection, and Kinship. And it really is for lay people and individuals who work in the field, but primarily for lay people, so that they can figure out how they can approach individuals and how they can respond when someone approaches them, because we have to love people through this. Anything else and they run the other way.
Right.
They've been disposed of throughout their entire history of this disease.
Right.
And so it's our job to give them a hug and tell them that they're safe and that we're going to get them the help they need. I mean, that's what's key.
How do people attend this event?
So they can show up the day of. It's 10 a.m. at the Star Campus, University of Delaware. They can also go online, Recovery Centers of America at Bracebridge Hall. It's under the event page. They can RSVP, which is also helpful. You know, and I think that it's good for anyone who wants to learn more about the disease and who wants to learn how they can do, regardless of what their role is, regardless of who they are. Again, it's community response, so we need to all be a part of the solution.